Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska's COVID-19 situation is getting worse. The state has announced two new deaths, some new hospitalizations, and dozens of new cases since the start of the month. According to the Department of Health and Social Services, one of the new deaths was an Anchorage man in his 80s with underlying health conditions who died in early June. There were no details provided on the other death, but COVID-19 has now caused or contributed to the death of 16 Alaskans. Alaska's total COVID hospitalizations since the pandemic began stands at 72. The DHSS has announced 160 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases since July 1st, plus 37 new non-resident cases. 18 of the new resident cases were in Fairbanks. There were also two in Tok and one each in North Pole and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area. There have been 37 new non-resident cases statewide so far this month, including five within the Fairbanks North Star borough. Alaska's statewide pandemic-long COVID-19 Alaska resident case total is 1,138. The non-resident case tally is 235. There are currently 574 active COVID cases statewide. Many people infected with COVID-19 are asymptomatic and can pass the virus to others without ever knowing they had it. Alaska Department of Health and Social Services lead pharmacist and COVID-19 testing coordinator Coleman Cutchins tells Alaska Public Media it's unclear if such individuals are immune to contracting the disease again.
We don't know the clinical significance behind what antibodies even mean if we can get a true positive.
Ann Cutchin says antibody testing for COVID-19 is somewhat unreliable.
They have varying degrees of false positives and false negatives. So what that means is you can get a positive serology test and not have been exposed to, you know, SARS-CoV-2 virus. Depending on which one it is, it can look for various markers on the shell of the virus, and those human coronaviruses can flag a positive.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, at this point in the pandemic, serology or antibody testing is best used for understanding how the virus has impacted a larger group of people and is more effective in areas with high rates of community spread. For individuals, Cutchin says most clinics can start the process of a serology test by collecting a sample and sending it to a lab, and there are also rapid tests. He says people interested should first ask their medical provider. The body of a Talkeetna man who went missing last month has been found. Alaska State Troopers report that search and rescue personnel located 61-year-old Terrence Baruti's remains July 1st in the area of South Susitna River Road near Talkeetna. Troopers say foul play is not suspected, and Baruti's next of kin have been notified. Baruti's body was sent to the state medical examiner for autopsy. Troopers first responded to Baruti's residence near mile 104 of the park's highway June 27th after he was reported last seen walking away from his home. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska has ruled that Hillcorp and BP don't have to publicly disclose details surrounding BP's $5.6 billion sale of its Alaska assets to Hillcorp. Alaska Public Media reports that information the company supplied to the regulator was at the company's request blacked out in documents the RCA released publicly. The information includes a revised sales agreement, studies of the Trans-Alaska pipeline, risk assessments, and minutes from pipeline operator meetings. The RCA agreed with the companies that disclosing the information would put them at a competitive disadvantage. The first part of the massive sale closed last week, and Hillcorp has taken over BP's stake in the Prudhoe Bay, Milne Point, and Point Thompson oil fields. The privately held company is now also the operator of Prudhoe Bay. The companies are still waiting for regulators to approve the transfer of BP's stake in the Trans-Alaska pipeline. A statewide initiative on the November ballot would reduce the role political parties play in Alaska elections. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The ballot measure is known as the Alaska's Better Elections Initiative. Initiative campaign manager Shea Siegert told the House State Affairs Committee during a meeting on Tuesday that Alaska's current election system limits voters' choices.
Our goal is to return that competition and to return free market elections back to Alaska.
The initiative is complex. The part that's gotten much of the attention would institute what's known as ranked choice voting in the general election. Under this system, voters would have the option of ranking candidates after their first choice. If no candidate gets a majority of the first choice votes, the votes of trailing candidates are redistributed to those of voters' second choices. The goal is to ensure that the winner is preferred by a majority of voters. Siegert says the ranked choice system will ensure that the voters whose first choice is the third or fourth place finishers will still count. And he says candidates will have an incentive to appeal to all voters.
You can't just talk to the ones who have the same letter next to their name as you.
Most of the more than $1 million contributed to the initiative comes from a group funded by Catherine Murdoch, a daughter-in-law of media mogul Rupert Murdoch. Alaska Republican Party Chairman Glenn Clary says a sweeping change to the election system should have gone through the public legislative process.
The initiative is an attempt by elitists to control and dictate to Alaskans how our state should conduct its election process.
Clary objects to allowing candidates to choose to associate themselves with a party, regardless of the party's endorsement.
Political parties will become extinct. There will be no need for candidates or voters to affiliate or associate with one another under a banner of common principles and ideals.
Clary says if the initiative passes, he could see the Republican Party holding convention primaries and suing to have party candidates placed on the ballot. Another part of the initiative would change the state's primary system to allow the top four finishers, regardless of affiliation, to advance to the general election. Clary also objects to this part of the initiative, comparing it to primaries open to candidates regardless of party affiliation in other states. They're sometimes known as jungle primaries.
Voters want to decide for themselves who will represent them, not some mucky business jungle primary backroom sleight of hand process to manipulate the voting process for the benefit of a few.
A final major part of the initiative would ban so-called dark money. It would do this by requiring that there be a public record of who gave money to campaigns, including contributors that are currently hidden, by passing money through an intermediary. Kay Brown served as the executive director of the Alaska Democratic Party from 2011 to 2017. She also objected to the initiative, adding that she was speaking for herself. She says it would be wrong to reduce the role of parties.
Eliminating party labels is not going to increase transparency or improve voters' understanding about where candidates stand. Labels mean something, and parties stand for something.
Brown noted the complexity of the initiative, which is 25 pages long, and she says the initiative should have been better written.
It's complicated, confusing, poorly explained, and legally flawed, and it needs more work before it's adopted for use here in Alaska.
Anchorage lawyer Scott Kendall worked on the initiative. He says elected officials having to consider the interests of all voters, and not just those voting in partisan primaries, will lead to better policy making.
And it really creates that safe space where the real work of governing Alaska can get done.
If the initiative passes, Alaska could become the second state, after Maine, to have ranked choice voting statewide. Massachusetts has a similar measure on its ballot this year. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And I'm Dan Bross.